Welcome to the Word Podcast. The Lord God has given us His Word. Let us learn it. Let us live it. Let us rejoice in it. Spread the Word.
Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We continue our examination of the 73rd Psalm, one of my favorite Psalms. That's the reason we're doing them. Psalm 37 and Psalm 73. We're familiar with verses that are here and there within it, but when you see these Psalms in their context, they're even more powerful. And both the Psalms had, the psalmist was expressing some consternation over what he was seeing, that the evil seemed to be prospering all the time. Okay? In other words, their life seemed to be easier than those who are believers in the Lord God. And so the Lord's given us insight into that. In the 73rd Psalm, beginning with verse 21, he continues, the psalmist really confesses some things. Listen to what he says in verse 21. When my heart was embittered and I was pierced within, and that within literally in the Hebrew is literally in my kidneys. And so the concept of the ancient was, you know, how we will say, well, my heart was pierced. They would say that their kidneys were, or their bowels were. They knew that these were important organs, right? Either way you go. He said, I was embittered. Okay, I was pierced within. Verse 22. Then I was senseless and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. And he's speaking to the Most High God without you. And it literally carries the idea that I was like a beastly animal with you, before you, with you. So what is he saying? He's saying, you know what? When my heart was embittered like this, when I was mad and angry, remember how he was? He was like that when thinking about what had happened, what was going on with these evil ones. And it was like that to the point in time when he came into the sanctuary of God, and then he perceived their end. Remember that? When he came before the Lord revealed to him the end of the wicked, and he realized, wait a minute, what am I doing? He said, when my heart was embittered, when I was pierced within, I was senseless, I was ignorant, I was literally walking like a beast with you, before you. That's so, so important. Well, why is that so important? Well, let me read the next verse, and then I'll tell you. Verse 23. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You have taken hold of my right hand. Whoa. Then what is that talking about? And this is something I think that quite often we struggle with, because we think, well, you know, if I'm really a true believer and if everything's right between me and God, then I'll never have any stress. I'll never have any struggle. There'll be no temptation of sin. Well, nothing can be further from the truth. There's many places in the scripture that tells us that we're in a battle, we're in a fight, right? So what he's saying right here is even when he was embittered, even when he was pierced within, even when he was senseless and ignorant, even when he was like a beast, he was still continually with God. And that like a beast with you is really intriguing in my mindset. Because it's just like sometimes our little beast, okay, now don't hear me wrong on this, but if you got a little puppy dog or something like that that is with you, and sometimes it just reacts and overreacts, and you have to put it on a leash a little bit, right? You keep the puppy with you, even though the puppy is acting embittered and pierced and senseless and ignorant, something like that. So I'm not saying that God has got us on the leash. What I am saying is the Lord is continually with us. The Lord will not abandon us. The Lord will not forsake us. And that's what the psalmist is coming to a realization about. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You have taken hold of my right hand. Of my right hand. The right hand is also always the picture of power and of control. Okay? You know, Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God the Father, the Almighty. Okay, it's the position of power. And what he's saying is, God, you've taken control. I mean, in the vernacular of country music today, it's a Jesus take the wheel moment, okay? He says, Lord, you have taken hold. Verse 24, he says, with your counsel, you will guide me, and afterward receive me to glory. So he's acknowledging, God, I was embittered, I was pierced within, I was senseless, I was ignorant, but you were with me always. You did not forsake me. And you know what? It's your counsel that's going to guide me, and you've taken me by the right hand. I am submitting myself to you. You are taking me, and you're going to guide me in and through all this, and afterwards receive me to glory. You're going to receive me into glory. Now, let's read the last four verses here of Psalm 73, verse 25 now. A couple of these are very familiar verses. This is one of them. Whom have I in heaven but you? And besides you, I desire nothing on earth. So we've heard that before. I've actually got a great little worship song that has that link in it. Whom have I in heaven but you? A lot of times people say, well, God's the only one in heaven. Oh, no, no, no. Well, God's the only God in heaven. Well, Yahweh is the only Yahweh in heaven, but God is not the only Elohim in heaven. There are other divine creatures, divine beings, divine entities in heaven. And what he's saying is that, God, you're the God above all gods, and you're the only one that is for me. He says, besides you, I desire nothing on earth. He says, I don't want anything but you and your presence. The things of earth, I'm not interested in. Verse 26, though, gives us real clarity. And you'll know this verse. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. It literally means that God is the rock of my heart. He is my portion forever. And even when my heart is embittered and I'm acting senseless and ignorant, God does not abandon me. He doesn't forsake me. He's with me continually. And you know what? My flesh may fail. My heart may fail in pursuing these soulish things like this. But Lord, you are my strength. You are the rock of my heart forever. Last two verses, verse 27. For behold, those who are far from you will perish. You have destroyed all those who are unfaithful to you. So in considering these things about the wicked, about the evildoers, he's saying this, you know what? They're far away from you. If they don't repent, they're going to perish. He considers them to have already been destroyed. You have destroyed all those who are unfaithful to you. Those in the past, yes, obviously, but even in the present and the future, he's realizing, I can't worry and can't fret over the evildoers and over the wicked. That's not my role. That's my function. God is going to take care of them. He will address them. As a matter of fact, you have destroyed all those who are unfaithful to you. The psalmist is declaring that they are as good as destroyed already, though they may not live at this moment. They are yet to be born. So the psalmist closes with this, verse 28 of Psalm 73. But as for me... Don't you love that? You see the struggle with the psalmist, whether it's Asaph who wrote this psalm or David. They're sitting there going, yeah, I know this is true, but you know what? This is what's going to happen. You know, as for me personally, the nearness of God is my good. I have made the Lord God, that's the Lord Yahweh, my refuge, that I may tell of all your works. Remember how he started off? He was fretting and distressed over the evildoers, over the wicked, and how they seemed to prosper and things. They were fat, you know, living a good life. He says, you know what? As for me, after seeing this, after considering this, after reflecting, after receiving the counsel of the Lord and realizing that he's the one that's guiding me, that he's the one that's going to receive me in the glory, after doing this and realizing and declaring, God, you're the strength of my heart, my portion forever. I don't desire anything else on earth. After all that, he says, the nearness of God is my good. That is our good. It's the nearness and the presence of the Most High God. I have made the Lord God my refuge. That's interesting because we do have a decision to make about that. We can choose to walk in our own strength and our own power, but we all know how that works out. It's not very good. I have made the Lord God my refuge that I may tell of all your works. He's living in the power of the Lord, in the nearness and the presence of the Lord. The Lord is his refuge, is his rock, but just not to his own personal edification. He says, I've done this to where I can tell of all your works, God. Psalm 73, before you recline upon your nightbed this evening, go back and read this or listen to it. Reflect upon what the Lord's saying to you. Again, I'm Dale. Thank you so much for your time. I'll see you next time.